The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
We have in the practice of mindfulness of breathing this ideal of having continuity of attention with the breathing. And that can sometimes be developed, and that ability grows over time. Grows both because we are developing more capacity for concentration and kind of commitment and stick to it, but also we begin to lessen the forces of distraction, the muscles in the mind to be pulled, to get preoccupied in thought and in desires and aversions and distractions of all kinds. That energy for doing that begins to lessen. And the more that lessens, the more easier it is to stay with the breathing. And the energy of distraction, the energy of wandering off in thought, if you're really sensitive, you can feel there is a kind of tension in that, or pressure, or something that feels a little disconnecting, or can feel alienating even. And even though some of the things we think about might be pleasant and enjoyable, there's something about it which can feel a little bit off. So as we begin practicing continuity or trying to be continuous with the breathing, one of the functions of that is to help us to see and notice how difficult it is to do so, how much the mind wanders off in thought. And rather than being upset with that, and feeling like you're not succeeding with the ideal of staying focused, there's a phase of mindfulness practice where we actually have to take stock of what our mind is doing, what it's up to, both in its tendency to be distracted and what it's like to be distracted, what it feels like, kind of to be mindful of the experience of thinking a lot, and start seeing some of the common themes of things that pull us away. One framework for understanding the common themes that makes them a little bit less specific, so we don't get pulled into the details of the particular concerns we have, is to see them as being the five hindrances. To see them, oh, that's desire. That's ill will or some kind of aversion. Oh, now the mind is just lethargic and dull and resistant. And now there's agitation in the mind, remorse, regrets, restlessness, and there's doubt. And so rather than saying doubt about something or agitated about something, desiring something, it's just recognizing it in this kind of general kind of way, oh, there's desire, there's aversion, lethargy or resistance, agitation, doubt. It's a way of creating a little bit of healthy distance where we're not so quickly and easily caught in the particular concern. Just as enough to, oh, there it is. And then to learn to recognize that and learn to relax, let go, learn not to believe that that's where you need to be. Don't get invested in it. Don't be seduced by it. But recognize, oh, there it is. My old friend, no need to be upset with yourself, you're doing this. And part of the benefit of just recognizing it as a category, desire, aversion, it's a little bit easier to maybe take it less personally, not be so wrapped up in the personal details of the particular thing that we're distracted by. Because these forces called the five hindrances are seen in Buddhism as just being part of what humans do. You're kind of, in a way, born with them, and they just come along with being alive. They don't have to stay there. We don't have to be their victims or just continue to be lost in them. But we don't have to be so, think it's a personal failing that we do it. It just comes with being human, and we have to learn to work with it. And as it settles down, it might be really clearly seeing, even just the label distraction or thinking is enough to disconnect us from the specificity of the thing we're thinking about, the content, to the experience of just being wondering in thought. And it's a way of beginning to lessen the pull or the energy that goes into it, quieting that energy, softening, so we can start staying more with the breathing. Because by becoming familiar with what it's like to have a distracted mind, then there can be a greater appreciation of what it's like to have a non-distracted mind. And one of the delights in meditation practice is when we feel like, oh, now we've settled in and we're really here. And there's a qualitatively different experience of really being here and clear and present, awake, with a sense of awareness being clear, with very little tendency to wander off. It just feels like, oh, this is a good place, like I'm home now. And so each person will experience it a little bit differently than maybe the words I just used, but will feel the goodness of being present. And that gives born to a certain kind of pleasure or delight or joy. The joy of the mind not under the control of distractions. It's kind of like we get to be ourselves. We're finally arrived here. It's kind of like we've gotten our mind back, as opposed to the mind kind of constantly being lost and caught up in these other concerns. And to take some time to feel that pleasure or delight or joy of being able to now stay with the breathing in a more continuous way and flow and be there and be free of distractions, free of these pulls to all these thoughts that maybe are not so great to be in. And it's better to be in the simplicity and the simple simplicity of and the ease of just staying here with the breathing here. So when we start doing this, then we enter into a territory of meditation where we are getting close to feeling joy. The word in Pali is piti, P-I-T-I, and sometimes it's translated into English as pleasure. And feeling the pleasure of meditation. Some people like to translate it as joy, the joy of meditation. It's very physical, so that's why people like to use the word pleasure for it. And interesting, when the Buddha, before he was enlightened, he spent 6-7 years as an ascetic, doing all kinds of self-mortification practices, so certainly a lot of pain and challenges. And it said that he did this so thoroughly that he came right up to the edge of dying. He was emaciated and stumbling around, falling, and he realized that if he does one more little step of this ascetic practice, he would actually die. So he didn't think that was useful, so he then ate some food and got a little bit of his senses back. Then he reflected, and he remembered a time when he was young where he felt a kind of meditative pleasure, meditative joy, that was not dependent on sensual pleasures in the world. So it wasn't sex or food or massages or wonderful activities. It was something that welled up from inside. And then he said that, I don't have to be afraid of this. We don't have to be afraid of this kind of pleasure. A little bit the strength of that statement is that these ascetics in ancient India thought that somehow sensual pleasure was just a trap and a dead end and not helpful for the process of liberation. And so they tended to dismiss all pleasures. And the Buddha then came to realize, no, the problem is not with the pleasures. The problem is really with the attachments to them, the preoccupation with them. And there is a kind of pleasure which we don't have to be afraid of. And one reason we don't have to be afraid of it is that we're not causing any harm in the world. We're not breaking precepts. We're not consuming things in the world, using them up or something like that. There's a blameless pleasure that can well up from inside when we sit and get focused and concentrated here. And as we do so and feel the delight or the pleasure of just being present, really, then we can begin tuning in to what the Buddha called blameless pleasure, or this simple delight of being present. And if we begin, then we could use as a biofeedback system that pleasure or that joy or that sense of well-being that encourages us to stay with the breathing, stay in the present moment. And after a while, there starts to be a kind of a feedback loop that builds up where the staying with the breath, massaging the breath, stroking the breath, feels like it very gently, very slowly, it's kind of reinforcing the clarity or the pleasure or the joy. It just feels good. I know some people talk about there's a something that starts feeling beautiful in the body. It's a beautiful feeling. Begins to kind of radiate or glow, maybe glow. I like the word glow a little bit, someplace in the body. And if we stop focusing the breath, that glow or that beauty kind of recedes and disappears. Now it's very important to start. It's very useful to start allowing ourselves to feel the pleasure of meditation when it's there, but to do it carefully. Not to do it to indulge in it, not to do it to linger and savor it, but to do it as a way to continue to kind of open to the present moment. It's almost like that pleasure is like the warmth of the sun that allows the body to relax, the body that's been cold and tight. And so this opening and this receptivity, this allowing of it to be there, and not to kind of, you know, oh, it feels so good and just kind of really, you know, savoring it. So to allow it to be there and kind of use it to kind of open, in particular to open even more to the breathing and allow the breathing, the continuity, and really focus on the breathing and settle in. So it's very useful to do so, but it's very important to do it without denying or pushing away that many times we don't have pleasure. Many times there is pain, there is discomfort, there is difficult emotions, difficult states of mind that we're in. And we don't want to deny that or somehow override it and do a spiritual bypass. But there's a kind of a wonderful art of including both together. And once we get a sense of the feelings of well-being that can exist, they can coexist with some of the distress we have. Because some of the challenges we have in life are increased by the way the mind fixates on them, the way we zero in on them and take them as being the thing of the moment, the most important thing, and get caught by it. And this breath meditation begins to soften that fixation around certain themes and ideas. They don't necessarily go away, but as the fixation softens, we start feeling a wider context of our lives, the wider goodness and pleasure, kind of feeling of wholeness that holds the particular challenge we have. So there is pleasure and joy that we do not have to fear. And as meditation deepens from time to time, we'll feel that. And it can be very subtle at first. And the art of meditation can be to allow ourselves to feel that as a way of supporting us to stay in the present moment. It's like a little cheerleader or support. Stay there. Be with us. And it's a lot easier for the mind to stay present with experience if the mind feels that it's a pleasant place to be. It's an enjoyable place to be. So you might begin, we've already been doing that for a couple of days, but you might kind of get curious in your daily life and in your meditation. Maybe sit a little bit extra these days. Meditate extra. So that, and be curious about senses of well-being, good feelings you might have within. And, you know, where are they? How are they? Where do you feel it? When do you feel something that's pleasure and well-being that's not directly related to what's happening around you? It's just so good to just to be present and settled and content just to be here for no good reason. Just sitting here, being here. And so if you're at all inclined to meditate more this week, it might give you more opportunities to explore this territory of the pleasure. So thank you, and I hope you enjoy yourself with all this.